Okay, go.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It's Thursday night, and it is 7 o'clock here in beautiful Sherman Oaks, California, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. I'm your host tonight, Bobby Jean Bell. I am sitting in the big seat of Jim Christina, the host of the show, who is always with us. But at the last minute, he's not able to be with us tonight. But I'm going to do my best to be both Jim and me. So welcome to The Writer's Block. We are brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley. And the nice folks at Black Dog Publishing know how to work with a new writer. Are you a new writer? Or perhaps you're working on your first or second book and you're looking for a little guidance on writing and editing and publishing? Give Black Dog Publishing a call and get out your pencil, 805-795-3165. And we're also brought to you by Out West. We are online. We are your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, boots, hats, fashion accessories, home decor, books, music, and general merchandise. You can shop us online at www.scvoutwest.com and use coupon code WB, that stands for Writer's Block 100, and get $10 off your order. We also are the hosts of the upcoming Buckaroo Bookshop at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. And one more quick announcement. We can't do this show without thanking Target Freight. Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service that's the best in the industry. They go to great lengths to secure the most competitive rates possible. TFM also provides unmatched customer support from their dedicated truckload division. In an effort to streamline their customers' overall shipping efficiency, TFM provides real-time updates on all lanes. Call TFM today at 1-844-653-7789 and tell them you heard this on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you. And if you are an LTL shipper, we know you are looking for the best rates with the least hassle. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just the ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go online to www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL. Call today. You won't be disappointed. And we thank all of our sponsors for making this wonderful weekly show that supports the writers and their efforts at writing The Writer's Block. We really thank them for supporting the show. This evening, we have a call-in guest, and I'm going to go ahead and unmute her so we can bring her on. Lynette Powell is joining us from Missouri. Let's say hello. Lynette, are you there?
I am.
Oh, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We're so happy to have you with us today. And now I have to find my intro for you, Lynette.
Oh, that's fine. I'm excited to be here.
Our guest tonight, as you can hear, is Lynette Grace Powell. She was born and raised in Springfield, Missouri. And her first book, Keep Walking, is a book about her journey of faith, a walk revealed by her own life. She had faith, lost it, and then found it again, and the twists and turns of her personal journey and the restoration of her faith inspired her to share the lessons she learned along the way. Please welcome to the Writer's Block, Lynette Grace Powell. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So has spring sprung in Missouri? What have you got going on out there?
Well, we've got a little bit of everything right now. Surprised we don't have snow. But it's been kind of a weird spring so far. We've had some really nice weather. Like today, it was finally made it up into the 70s and was sunny and really nice. A little bit windy, but nice. Yeah. But a couple days ago, you know, we had really cold weather, like in the 40s. And then we had a bad storm roll through a few days ago. And so, you know, we've kind of gotten a little bit of everything. I think tomorrow's supposed to be sunny and warmer, hopefully, so maybe more like spring. But
so do you have things like tulips blooming now, or what are some of the first flowers that you begin to see this time of year?
Well, we actually had things bloom very early this year, just because of our weird winter and weird spring entrance and things like that. We've got a lot of jonquils.
A lot
of those have popped up, and a lot of people, you know, had to cover them because we had some really cold days that dropped, you know, way down in the 40s and frost advisories and things like that. So people were scrounging to, you know, cover those up. So they didn't lose those. And my dogwood is starting to bloom out, actually.
Oh, no.
So it's really pretty.
Oh, that's beautiful when dogwood blooms. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes, I have a very small one. It was here when I moved in by my house.
Okay.
I enjoy watching it bloom out. It's a pink and kind of white bloom one, and it's really pretty. So
now that we've gotten to learn a little bit about where you're living there in Missouri, tell us a little bit about Lynette. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a writer. And I am also very passionate about radio. I've done a little bit of production, you know, work in the radio field. I don't really know what else you want to know.
Have you always been a writer? Have you always been interested in writing?
I have been. Even in like elementary school, I was always writing poetry, free verse, you know, type poetry. Mm-hmm. I've always journaled. I've always done like the diary, you know, type thing growing up. I started out in poetry and then I evolved into writing more, you know, books. And I'm actually working on a second book that will be a little bit longer than this one and a little bit different of a path.
Right. So. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So Keep Walking is your first book. Go ahead and tell us about that book and also what inspired you to put that pen to paper.
It is my first book, and it is what inspired me to do it was just my life story. And I had this little nudge from God saying, you know, you need to write a story. You need to write a story. And I kept saying, no, I don't. No, I don't. You know, I don't need to do that. And it just kept coming back and coming back. And so finally I was like, okay, I'm going to give into this, but I don't really know where to start, you know, what parts of my life to put in it, what parts not. And so I just felt like he really guided me in the path of, you know, what needed to be in there and what didn't, and kind of how to do that without, you know, throwing family under the bus or throwing friends under the bus or
That's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. Because that wasn't my goal with the book. I mean, I didn't want to just, you know, put a bunch of family business out there or, you know, anything like that. So I really felt like he guided me in the writing of it and gave me the inspiration, you know, to keep at it and keep doing it. And it took me close to a year to finish it, which is pretty quick in the writing world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's kind of where it came about. And I just felt like somebody needed to, you know, hear my story, and somebody needed to know that they weren't alone and that, you know, there is somebody else out there that's gone through maybe something similar or, a similar path, that type of thing.
Well, and I think having read the book, and I did, I inhaled it. I sat and read it, you know, with, I don't know, maybe 3 cups of coffee and and a notepad, because you also fill it with, you tell us your story, but you also fill it with some wonderful other things. Like, I love the story you tell about the woman who uses as an example carrots and an egg. Eggs and coffee beans. Do you know that story? Maybe, you know what, would you? I'm putting you on the spot totally, but that was, I was like, oh my gosh, that is such a great little story.
I am happy to read it. I'd have to find it.
You know
book.
What? I think I marked it. Hold on a second. It's on page 77.
Okay.
Actually, it starts on starts at the bottom of page 76. And your book is full of wonderful kind of little vignettes like this that I really enjoyed. If you want to read that one. Did you find it?
I am working on it. I know my book, but I don't know. I don't remember, you know, which page everything is on.
That's okay. It's on the bottom of 76.
There it is. Yes, I can share that. Okay, there was a wonderful story I heard the other day, and it was very fitting for my own life. The author is unknown, but this is what the story says. A young woman went to her grandmother and told her about life and how things were so hard for her. She didn't know how she was going to make it and wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as one problem was solved, a new one came up. Her grandmother took her to the kitchen. She filled 3 pots with water. In the first pot, she placed carrots. In the second pot, she placed eggs. And in the third pot, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished out the carrots and placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. Then she ladled up the coffee and placed it in a bowl. Turning to her granddaughter, she asked, "Tell me what you see." "Carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. She brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did and noted that they got soft. She then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg part. Finally, she asked her to sip the coffee. The granddaughter smiled as she tasted its rich aroma. The granddaughter then asked, "What's the point, grandmother?" Her grandmother explained that each of these objects had faced adversity, boiling water, but each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong and hard and unchanging. However, after being subjected to the boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid center. But after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. After they were in the boiling water, they had changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked the granddaughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, egg, or a coffee bean? Think of this, which am I? Am I the carrot that seems strong, but with pain and adversity, do I wilt and become soft and lose my strength? Am I the egg that starts with a heart, but changes with the heat? Did I have a fluid spirit, but after a death, a breakup, a money hardship, or some other trial, have I become hardened and stiff? Does my shell look the same, but inside I am bitter and tough with a stiff spirit and hardened heart? Or am I the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the hot water. The very circumstance that brings the pain, when the water gets hot, it releases the strength and flavor. If you are like the bean, when things are at their worst, you get better and change the situation around you. When the hours are darkest and trials are at their greatest, do you elevate to another level? From this story, I know I choose to now be like the coffee bean. Which will you be? And that was the end of it.
Is such a great analogy.
I loved that story. And like I said, I don't know the author. It's not, you know, my story.
Right, right.
But it had an unknown author, but I just really liked it because it fit, you know, for my story. And I know for a lot of people out there, mm-hmm. and gives people something to think about.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know?
And I know that we have a central character in this little story. We've got Grandma, and I think your grandmother was very important to you, wasn't she?
She was very important. It was my grandmother on my dad's side, and she and I were very close growing up. I was always at her house. We were always doing things together. You know, sometimes it was just a matter of we'd get dinner and sit down and watch an I Love Lucy rerun or, you know, a Golden Girl rerun or, you know, something like that, play cards. You know, very simple things, but the time spent together was very important and very precious. And so, yes, we were very, very close. Growing up.
Well, and I think in the sharing of your story, although you don't necessarily, as we said, go into a lot of details about things, what you do is you look for the opportunities to share what we would maybe all have as similar. The loss of your grandmother was definitely impacted you, and we might say to ourselves when reading the book, well, that's not my grandmother, but I have this other loss that I suffered in my life, or this other dear person that was so meaningful to me. And so,
right.
You know, you've chosen as examples things that are your story, but can be every man or every woman's story.
Right, and that other people can relate to in some way. Like you said, it may not have been a grandparent, but it might have been a friend, or it might have been an aunt, or, you know, something like that, that they feel close to, like I felt close to my grandmother. And I actually had somebody come up to me after they read the book, and she mentioned the grandmother chapter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she said, I can really relate because she, too, was close to her grandmother growing up. And so it's neat when people come up and say, you know, I can relate to this chapter or that chapter and things like that. So,
well, and you talk about an old barn.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all didn't play video games then. We played in places like old barns and woods and things like that. Tell us a little bit about that old barn.
We did. I did, you know, some computer games, but mostly growing up, I mean, we played outside. We had a, behind my parents' house, there was an old barn, and it hadn't been used in years. And it actually belonged, I think, to my neighbors that were behind them. But, I mean, they didn't care, you know, that we were playing in, as long as we were careful and all that. And it was just an old barn. It was an old wooden barn. Parts of it were falling down. And we would just invent games in it, you know, just little games like, you know, we'd play house or we'd play, you know, we watched Little House on the Prairie growing up. So, I mean, we kind of reenact that a little bit, you know,
sure,
in our own ways. And then there was also a creek that was by there, and we'd also, you know, play in the creek. And, we walked that, you know, for hours sometimes.
Well, you talk about finding treasure down there at that creek, don't you?
We did. I mean, most of it was junk, you know, but to a kid, I mean, we were like, oh, look what we found. We found this old, you know, toy or old, you know, whatever. And, you know, to us as a kid, I mean, that was just excitement.
Right.
You know, it was like, oh, what treasures are we going to find, you know, walking there today? Or, you know, I mean, we couldn't always keep all of our treasures, but, you know, just the excitement of finding those and stuff. But, yeah, that old barn, I mean, we spent hours in it, and I'd play with the neighbor kids in it. And so it just, you know, it was very simple, but it had an impact on me growing up.
Right. Well, and that's partly why you've included it in the book. You also got to do a little bit of travel with your family. How fun. You went to England, and where else did you go?
We did. We went to England when I was, I believe it was high school, or a little bit before. We got to go to the London area and loved it. And then we also went down to Mexico 1 year. For Christmas, and that was eye-opening because we stayed in, you know, kind of an all-inclusive type place. So, I mean, we were in a safe place. But then we'd do day trips, and we'd go through some of the little villages drive through them and stuff. And that was just really eye-opening for me, just to see how those people lived. I mean, some of them had maybe one light in the house if they were lucky, and there were chickens running around and kids running around and things like that. So, I mean, that was really,
Well, and one of the things that you
need to see.
And one of the things I think you shared was you saw the situation that they were living in, which was quite different from what you were accustomed to, but there seemed to be joy and
right.
and love.
Right.
And
I mean, they were, the kids that were running around, I mean, they were laughing and smiling and playing, and it didn't matter what they were playing with. I mean, they were having the best time with a stick.
Right.
I mean, it was just, that was joy for them just to be able to, invent a game with that or, chase the chickens or, something. So, and for me, it was very different than how I grew up. So, I mean, it was, it was really neat to be able to see, that they can still be happy with essentially nothing.
Yeah.
And really all they needed was just the love of family and things like that. So
now do you still live in Springfield, Missouri? Is that where you are now?
I do.
Okay.
I lived in Columbia, Missouri for about 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay.
And then I moved back to Springfield, but I was born and raised in Springfield, Missouri.
Well, one of the fun things, Lynette, for me, especially since I'm sitting in the big chair tonight, is I've chosen some music, actually, from some of my favorite Western musicians. And I found a piece of music today that is actually being performed by a guest that will be with us next week in the studio. Her name is Mary Kay. And if it's okay with you, we're going to play this song, which just seems very appropriate for our time together, and it's called The Town That Raised Me. And if I can figure out how to do this, we're going to take a listen to Mary Kay. This is from her award-winning album, Ride a Wide Circle, and it's called The Town That Raised Me, and we'll be back in just a few.
My whole world is this small town where I got lost and I got found. Barefoot summers and hot tar roads, penny candy and sunburnt nose. When my heart found its rhythm, when my first love asked me to go with them. County fair on an August night. This town knows how to end a summer right. Cotton candy in the rodeo. Every face is a face you know. A place that's just so good. One never quite recovers from a happy childhood. This is the town that raised me. This is a place where I had room to grow. Miles and miles from bright light cities, where time marches on, but it marches slow. Sunday school, Ten Commandments, one golden rule. Summer work on local ranches, football games and high school dances. Who wouldn't want to live this way? Why would you ever
ever want to saddle up and ride away. This is the town that raised me. This is a place where I had room to grow. Miles and miles from bright light cities, where time marches on, but it marches slow.
Just tuned in, you join us on the Writer's Block. We've just been listening to singer-songwriter Mary Kay with a song called The Town That Raised Me from her brand new award-winning CD, Ride a White Circle. Mary Kay will be with us next week on this program, and we're chatting with Lynette Powell calling in from Missouri. Are you back with us, Lynette?
Yes, I am.
Well,
I loved that song.
It was really fun trying to kind of think about tonight and what would be some great music. And this piece just spoke to my heart, just as your book has spoken to my heart.
thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about certainly your life journey has been fraught with twists and turns, as all of our lives are. In the retelling of it and the writing of it, what did anything surprise you? You know?
Not really. One surprise would be is just seeing some of the situations on paper. Because some of the, like, especially in the chapter where I talk about some of my dark days and my challenges, I knew them in my head, but then seeing them on paper mm-hmm. makes them more real and kind of gives it a little bit different of a perspective. And it's a little scary too, you know, putting it out there, for people to know about. I don't regret it, because if it can help somebody, that's I'm all about that. But it's just that, you know, how are people going to react to it? You know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go into a lot of detail, but still just seeing, you know, what I did write down on paper was kind of like, oh, that kind of puts that in a different perspective for me. And, I guess makes it maybe a little bit more real.
Mm-hmm. Did it kind of flow through your fingertips? And do you work with a computer and a keyboard, or do you like to write with a pencil, or how does it flow for you?
For this book, I actually started out doing kind of an outline on pen and paper. On a pad with a pen, and I kind of did an outline of, you know, I want to add this in, that in, and then I'm the type that I come up with chapters first, and then I put in, you know, the meat of it.
Right.
And so for this one, I started out writing pen and paper, and then I eventually went and started doing it in a program on the computer.
Okay.
Just because that's how I had to send it, you know, to the publisher.
Sure.
And that type of thing.
Sure.
So
when you were writing the hard story parts, did it flow pretty easily, or did you find, you know, how was that, putting that down?
It was challenging because I wanted to tell enough about it, you know, so that the reader understood where I was coming from. But then I didn't want to, there were certain parts I didn't want to add too much detail to,
mm-hmm.
Just for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so the, you know, writing about like the trip and writing about, you know, like the old barn, that type of thing, that was pretty easy for me to write. But then when I got to the more, you know, challenging chapters, those were a little bit more challenging because, you know, I struggled with, okay, should I really put this in there or should I put that? You know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. As you go through your journey, you also do have, I think, I was trying to find it again in the book, but you have a, I'm going to call it kind of that mountaintop experience that we all hope that we have at least once in our lifetime, when you were, you really felt a tremendous amount of peace.
I did. That was on a mountain. It was in like the middle of this theme park type thing. And I was on a choir trip in high school. And you had to take a tram up the mountain and, you know, back down. I think you could walk it, but we were like, we're not walking up there. So, you know, I got up there and I was up there with a friend and we were all kind of taking pictures and doing different things up there. And I remember going to the edge as far as you could go, because, I mean, there was, you know, a railing. But as far as you could go, and I was just sitting there, and it was just, I'd never had that feeling, and I haven't had that feeling since, quite that just peace and being just kind of at one. And, you know, it was like everybody kind of disappeared around me, and I was just, you know, at total peace. I was kind of one with the mountain, if you want to say that that way. And it was just, yeah, really calm, peaceful feeling. And I remember the only thing that brought me back to reality was they were saying that the last tram, you know, was going down the mountain. And I was like, oh, I need to get on that so I don't have to walk down the mountain in the dark.
We have to go back to reality.
Exactly. So that brought me back to reality of, oh, I can't, you know, and I would have loved to stay on that mountain forever, but I mean, that wasn't, you know, realistic, obviously. So, but yeah, I mean, even my friend sitting next to me, she was like, you were just kind of like gone for a while. I was like, well, you know, it was just, yeah, just really peaceful, really calming. Didn't have a care in the world. I mean, it was just, yeah, it was an unusual feeling. So,
well, will you indulge me? I think I found the same feeling in a piece of music. Can I share it?
Sure.
So this
I am
is,
all about music.
Okay, so this is a piece that's performed by a trio called the Hanson Family. They're out of Oregon. And it's off their CD, Rope That Rhythm. And they have remarkable harmony and beautiful voices. And when I listened to this piece actually earlier this morning, I thought, oh my gosh, that's Lynette's top of the mountain. So we're going to enjoy a little bit of Go Rest High on That Mountain, the Hanson Family.
I know your life on earth was troubled. And only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You're no stranger to the rain. Go rest high. I could see
when they hear your sweet voice sing. So go rest high on that mountain, sun your work on earth is done. Go to heaven a shouting love for the Father and the Son. Go to heaven a shouting love for the Father and the Son.
And that was the Henson family with a wonderful Go Rest High on That Mountain. You are listening to The Writer's Block here on LA Talk Radio, and we're chatting with author Lynette Powell. Isn't that beautiful?
I love that song.
It was very fun, again, thinking about you and thinking about great great music, because this book deserves to have that kind of punctuation to it. Let's talk a little bit about the process, your writing process. And I understand you have a second book that you're working on. Maybe tell us a little bit about what's coming up next.
Well, my second book, I have rearranged it, but I like how it's turning out. It is going to be kind of like the Chicken Soup for the Soul books in some ways. But it is going to be a bunch of short stories. They're all tied together with someone having to overcome a situation or a person type thing. Some of it is obvious, and sometimes the reader has to kind of dig into it more to find, you know, the overcoming part. But they're all done in first person. So the reader has to decide for themselves whether they are a real story or a non-real story. And so I kind of like the mystery to that. So each reader can decide if it's, you know, if it rings true for them or if it doesn't, that type of thing.
That should be fun. And do you have a sense of how many stories you're going to try to put in that book?
I don't. Right now I've got about 10 stories done. And they're very, very short. So they're about 2 to 3 pages long, mm-hmm. Each story is. And I kind of framed the story with starting out about, you know, talking about, you know, life, and then kind of ending with recalling life, and then, you know, putting the stories in between that. So I don't have a set number. I know that I want it to be longer, you know, than my first book. So I'm just kind of writing and going with it and seeing how much ends up being there. So
do you write daily, Lynette, or do you just write when the muse is speaking to you? Tell us a little bit about that.
I try to write daily. I mean, there's some days where I don't have the motivation. Like I can't find something to write on. And so on those days, you know, I just kind of go away from it for a little bit. You know, and then I'll have other days where I'm, you know, out doing something and a thought will pop into my head. And so I always carry like a notepad or something with me so I can, you know, jot it down and, you know, until I can get home to, you know, put it on the computer. So that's kind of how I do. And then there's some days where I set aside, you know, 2 or 3 hours because I'm on a roll and I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got motivation. I've got a goal in mind, and so I sit down and start writing.
Do you have a favorite Do you have a favorite place that you like to write in?
Not really. I usually am in my bedroom, just because that's kind of my quiet, safe place. Mm-hmm. I don't have, you know, too many distractions in there usually, and that's where my computer is, and so I just usually sit there. If I need a break, you know, sometimes I'll go outside on my porch, you know, and write outside if it's a pretty day or something like that. Yeah. So.
And, of course, the famous question that we ask all of our guests, do you experience writer's block? And if so, what do you do about it?
Oh, my gosh, yes, I do. I mean, there's times when I'll be staring at it and I'm like, okay, something needs to come, but it's not coming, you know. And there's times when I will challenge myself with that and really try to push for something. And then there's other times where I'll sit there, you know, for a few minutes and it's like, there is nothing coming. I need to get up, take a break. You know, it's still going to be there when I have a thought. And so I try to really balance with knowing, okay, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I've pushed myself too far, so I need to take a break. Mm-hmm. But I get writer's block a lot. And so I just kind of, I'm like, well, you know what? Something will pop into my head in a few days and then I'll start writing again, you know?
So it sounds like you try not to stress over it too much. You know it will, you will work your way through it. Is that right?
Right. I try not to stress. If I find myself just staring at it going, you know, getting frustrated and I'm like, oh, something needs to come. You know, those are the times where I kind of do the self-talk of, okay, just walk away from it, you know, because for me, I try not to set a strict timeline. I mean, there's a timeline, you know, in which I'd like to get it done by, but I don't say, oh, well, I've got to have it done in 3 months or 4 months, you know. It's just kind of like, okay, I'd rather it be good and take my time and, you know, if it gets done in a year, okay. If it gets done longer than that, that's fine too. So I try really hard not to let myself stress too much, mm-hmm. you know, about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I don't have somebody on the other end, you know, that's got a deadline for something that I need to meet, then, it's usually pretty good.
Right. Now, I know you do some book events. Do you have any tips for authors out there on book events?
Just go into it and have fun. I mean, and don't be afraid of, you know, doing a book signing at a coffee shop or, you know, little bookstores. I mean, I've called places like little local bookstores and said, hey, this is what I have. You know, could I maybe do a signing event or something? So don't be afraid to reach out to people. I mean, you're going to get some no's, and I mean, that's just, you know, but then you just go on to the next person. And, you know, don't go into it thinking that, oh, I'm going to sell, you know, 40 copies or 50 copies or whatever. Just go into it going, you know what, I'm going to get experience out of it, if nothing else. And, you know, my book's name's going to be out there, you know, word of mouth, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, I just go into it confident, with confidence and, you know, knowing mm-hmm. that, you know, if you sell one book, that's great. If you sell 30 books, that's great. I mean, it's just...
it's marketing,
I mean,
right?
That's kind of my thoughts. Yeah, it's marketing, if nothing else.
Getting your name out.
And getting your name out there, and especially being a new author. I mean, it's a hard market, and so just getting your name out there is one of the best things you can do, you know, being a new author.
Are you in... Did you independently publish? Remind me, are you...
I am.
You're, okay. So was that process, and we don't need to necessarily know who you worked with or anything, but just how you went about finding the publisher. Some of our new authors might enjoy just knowing a little bit about your discovery process or what you're looking for in publishing.
My main thing is, I mean, do your research. You know what the publishing companies are about. Some you have to pay to publish with, some you don't. And just, you know, kind of decide right off the bat, you know, kind of which avenue you want to go with. And then look for publishers that publish your type of book. You know, if you write a romance novel, you want to look for romance publishers as opposed to, like, you know, mm-hmm, Christian publishers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or so if your book is tailored, you know, for one specific, you know, type of book, then go with, you know, look for those publishers. And, you know, just don't be afraid to, you know, contact them, you know, send them an email and say, hey, I'm kind of wondering how your process works. And start small, you know, don't, I wouldn't go with a huge company right off the bat, just because you're a new author, and a lot of big companies, you know, want people that have been out there for a while.
Right, right.
So don't be afraid to start small, and whether it's, you know, in your state or not in your state, just, but my main thing is just do research. I mean, just, you know what you're getting into and know what the publisher's about and kind of what you want and what you don't and do that. So, and a lot of times too, it's, you know, networking, mm-hmm. you know, with other authors that have been published. You know, I've got several author friends that, you know, I network with, and they kind of say, this is good, this is bad, you know, mm-hmm. so.
Do you belong to
and they're one.
Yeah, do you belong to a writer's guild or any, you know, any type of a writer's group that you meet with regularly?
I do the writer's guild that is here in Springfield. I haven't gone within the last few months just because they've moved locations mm-hmm. and I need to get, you know, reestablished with that. But I was going to that and really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a great outlet too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a small fee, sometimes there's not. It just depends on, you know, the group. But it's a great networking thing. Most of them, if you're a member of the group, you know, you can share your work, you know, with the group and get, you know, feedback back from the people. And a lot of the people have been published, you know, more than once. And so they're really good about mm-hmm. saying, you know, this is good, this is bad. And then, when I went, there was some speakers that, you know, taught writing and taught English and that type of thing. And so they were really interesting to listen to because they were kind of saying, okay, this is, you know,
right.
a good way to write. This is a bad way, you know, that type of thing. And so just having that network and that feedback, and you know, even if it's negative feedback, I mean, it's still good to know, okay, this is what I can improve on.
Right.
Or,
right.
So that's kind of, and then like I said, I've got, you know, a network of a few other authors that I kind of, you know, bounce things off of as well. So
we've been talking with our guest tonight, Lynette Grace Powell, her book, Keep Walking. Lynette, where do they find this book, and tell them how they can follow you on Facebook?
My Facebook name is Lynette Powell. And they are welcome to follow me on there. I post most of my book stuff on there. And as far as getting the book, I have several personal copies, that I am happy to, give out. And, it is also available at Amazon, and it is also available at Barnes & Noble. On their website.
Right. We really had so much fun chatting with you tonight. I'm looking at that clock on the wall, and I see that we're nearly out of time. And I just really want to thank you for giving me a little time this afternoon in your busy day and for being with us tonight. And we're going to close out our time with Lynette, another song that felt very appropriate, Amazing Grace. And this is being performed by the Western Music Association's Entertainer of the Year, Kristen Harris. Stay tuned.
That grace. please appear. The hour I first believed.
Thank you, Lynette, for joining us tonight. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have this time with you. And to our listeners, we thank you so much for your support and for tuning in next week. Mr. Christina will be back in the seat, and our guest will be cowboy poet storyteller Joe Harrington, who had us laughing last time in Stitches. He will be here in the studio with us, and Mary Kay, who we listened to a little bit of tonight, will be calling in. They are both performing, kicking off the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival on April 19th, a concert that we're hosting that's actually sold out, but we are thrilled that they're going to be with us next week. So, Lynette, keep writing, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
All right. Thank you very much.